أحمدك اللهم حمدا يليق بك، وأثني عليك ولا أحصي ثناء عليك، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته وجاهد جهاده واقتدى به إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His prophet and messenger and servant, and we ask his prayers and blessings and peace upon his prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the day of judgment. My dear brethren, in the hadith Qudsi, that is the hadith reported by the prophet but purportedly said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, Allah will ask each of his servants, I fell ill, why didn't you visit me? And the servant will be shocked and say, how come, Lord of the worlds, that you fall ill? And Allah would say, didn't you hear that my servant so and so was ill? If you visited him, it would have been as though you have visited me. And this is part of the generous ethics that Islam teaches us how to deal and handle and act towards our fellow Muslims. On that account, in a period of illness I went through, I was blessed by being visited by so many of my brethren, apart from those who sent cards and letters and spoke on the phone and sent their feelings and greetings by proxy. And I remember one day I received three of my brothers. Two of them expressed the usual ordinary tone that held all the time, wishing a speedy recovery and a perfect healing, inshallah. But my third brother approached me, took my hand, and whispered in my ear, congratulations. And this was just like a light that was switched on, because although unexpected, it was realistic, and it immediately exposed the other dimension of illness that Islam recognizes. It illuminated the spiritual dimension of illness. It immediately brings to memory the saying of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, I swear by him who holds my life, whenever the Muslim complains of illness or pain, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sheds his sins off him like a tree shedding off its leaves. That is the hidden blessing being tested by illness. And we Muslims should be well trained and always remembrance of this aspect of our test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that we are born and we pass through life and then we die only for one thing, to test us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created death and life for the purpose of letting you know who are the better amongst you. He forewarned us that life is a test. Life on earth is different from life in paradise. And everyone is tested. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they are left to say we have attained the faith without being tested? And the tests of Allah take different forms, but the prescription for any form of testing is one word, patience. Patience that was mentioned in the Quran more than 100 times. Patience, and we know that one of the names of Allah is the patient. Patience that carries a reward for everyone who is patient in the face of any affliction or any disaster or any test. And so we Muslims should know the stand of Islam on suffering and the pain and illness. Of course, it is our duty to prevent suffering and illness and the pain whenever we can, by whatever means we can. We are ordered to keep fit and to keep healthy, and the Prophet teaches that the strong mu'min is better than the weak mu'min, and there is goodness in each. We are ordered not to approach anything that would compromise our health. I especially remember this to our brethren who smoke, or who drink, or who eat in a wrong way, or who have any other bad habits conducive of poor health. Our bodies and our souls are the trust of Allah for us to keep and protect and preserve. And yet hardly anyone, even the Prophet himself, faced illness, and more than once, because we don't have control on all the details of life on this earth. And that is why we are ordered to believe in fate, al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharri, whether pleasant or not pleasant. We believe in fate. Our ability, our power cannot be all comprehending. We are limited. And sometimes when we think that we have complete power, something happens that humbles us and humiliates us. And a recent event is the two copters shot by the two American planes. This is at the summit of scientific knowledge and technology, and yet man can never be completely able. And so we are exposed to illness, and illness can be a test. And when it happens, it is our duty to treat it. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, seek treatment, servants of God. And yet, it is inevitable that some of us will face illness. Sometimes it is a short one. Sometimes it is a long one. Sometimes it is a chronic one. Sometimes it is acute. Sometimes it is debilitating, sometimes it is cured and healed. Sometimes it is a fatal illness, and we know that it is a matter of time until we die. And yet, the position of a Muslim is do your best to be better and to be cured, but also apply Islam. I don't mean Islam capital I. I mean Islam the real thing, the submission to the will of God. And so when you are afflicted, don't forget that you are rewarded for it. Don't forget that with the pain you suffer, your sins are shed off from you. And don't forget that you will be rewarded for this pain in this world and in the hereafter. And that is why Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, I am amazed for the affairs of the mu'min. All his affairs are good. If he meets abundance and affluence and the blessings and the bounty, he would be thankful and say, Alhamdulillah, and this is good for him. And if he is afflicted with pain and illness and suffering, he will be patient and this is good for him. So whatever happens, it is a win-win situation. Health is a test. Money is a test. Abundance is a test. Because you will be asked, I gave you wealth. I gave you health. I gave you knowledge. I gave you wisdom. I gave you ability. I gave you youth. What did you do with them? How did you serve Islam with them? And this is the testing by affluence, the testing by blessing, and it might be the more difficult test. Because when you are suffering, immediately you say, Ya Allah. But when it is the other way around, and you win $10 million, only the mu'mins will say, Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, I'll use them in ways that please you. But other people might be even carried away and shifted away from the straight path. And if the little seed, the potential of badness is in them, it will be exaggerated by the wealth and the money they get. So a Muslim should be aware when it is good and fine, Alhamdulillah, and don't forget. When it is bad and painful, you say, Alhamdulillah, I submit to you. I accept whatever you have decreed on me. And if you do that, this is a sign that you are amongst the faithful. And we ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the thankful when we should be thankful, and from amongst the patient when we should be patient. And in both, we are rewarded. And in both, we get rid of sins. And in both, we accumulate rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I expressed the other day to my brother Abdul Hamid Yunus, jazahullahu khayran, I said, I am worn out. I am demoralized because I cannot fulfill what I want to do. Going to the mosque, giving the khutbah, giving lectures, visiting other centers. And he said, no, don't worry. Don't worry. The counter is running in your favor both ways. Because when you go out to serve Islam, then it is counting in your favor. Because when you go out to serve Islam, then it is counting in your favor. When you are unable to do that, and you say, I will be patient, you are doing patience, and the patience has its reward. And that is why, for a mu'min, both sides are good. And both sides should be accepted by the mu'min. And both sides should be met only by one stand, that is, Alhamdulillah, lak alhamdu ya Rabb. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سلوا ربكم يستجب لكم أحمدك وأشكرك وأستغفرك وأتوب الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear brethren, just a little comment that I would like to touch on for educational purposes. Until now, and temporarily inshallah, I'm not able to do my sujood because of pain in my hip. So the question arose, if I give the khutbah, should I lead the prayer or not? One view says, no, you should not, because the imam is there to be an imam for the people, to do like him. And if the imam cannot complete the sujood, then this is not acceptable. This is a very respectable opinion, and if you read the major books of fiqh, you read this all right. On the other hand, it is known that when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in his last illness, and he felt too weak to go and lead the prayer, and he said, order Abu Bakr and let him lead the prayer. And then there was some misunderstanding or intervention, and somebody asked Umar ibn al-Khattab to lead the prayer, and Umar had a loud voice. So when the Prophet heard the voice of Umar, the Prophet said, no, Allah doesn't accept this. Rasulullah doesn't accept this. The faithful wouldn't accept that. Order Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And so somebody went and told them that it is the Prophet's explicit order that Abu Bakr should lead the prayer. Abu Bakr started leading the prayer, but then the Prophet slowly came out of his room and wanted to join the prayer. And so he came and sat behind Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr took notice that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there, he refused to be imam. And the Prophet signaled to him, go ahead, lead the prayer, but Abu Bakr refused. And so the Prophet took the place of the imam and led the prayer while he was sitting. So this is the other view. Somebody might say, but this is the Prophet, and who is more worthy than the Prophet to follow? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And this becomes a sunnah. I say this because you might encounter such a situation in any mosque in the future. So please, if you find that the imam has declined and somebody else is leading the prayer, know that it is all right. If you find that the imam would lead the prayer while sitting, also know that it is all right. There is more than one right. One according to the books of fiqh, one according to what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did. Anyhow, I'll be asking Brother Samir al-Qubaitri to lead the prayer today for the peace of mind of those who have strong views otherwise. But both views are correct. And we ask Allah to make us thankful and patient, and to make us real mu'mins, and to make us the nation of the Quran, with Quranic hearts, and Quranic minds, and Quranic sights, and Quranic thinking, and Quranic action. We ask of Allah to fill our hearts with His love, love to our fellow Muslim and our fellow human being. We ask of Allah to act on our behalf on whatever afflicts the Muslim nation across the world, as if human beings thought they are gods, as if human beings are not aware that beyond their power there is the absolutely power, and beyond their injustice there is the absolutely just. And we ask Him to grant us the blessing of love and of perseverance and of iman, so that we live and we die, and we are resurrected on La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واقض الدين عن المدينين منا واهد من ضل منا يا رب العالمين، واجعلنا أمة الحق والنور والإيمان والإسلام يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأقم الصلاة.